Shalom, this is Gamliel Shmalo. Ruth chapter 4 is the final chapter in this short story about the family of Elimelech and Naomi. I find the story charming simply because of its simplicity. If you want to know what life looked like in the time of the Bible, real life, more than any other book of Tanakh, look at the book of Ruth. More than any other book of Tanakh, the book of Ruth gives a snapshot, a day in the life of biblical Israel, without miracles, without heroes of biblical proportions or villains of biblical proportions. It's without kings or wars. It doesn't have prophets or priests. Here you find regular people going about their regular lives, a harvest, the dignified struggles of the poor, the kindness of the relatively well-off, and the gossip of neighbors, the earthy workers in the field sharing their modest lunch with a stranger. In reading these chapters, we've been given an eye-level perspective of the time of the judges, the Shoftim. As Rabbi Joe taught in his introduction to this book, the book of Ruth stands on the border between the book of Judges and the book of Shmuel. And in many ways, it's the antithesis of the book of Judges, because while the book of Judges showed the slow unraveling of society, the book of Ruth paints for us a portrait of social cohesion, of kindness, and ultimately of redemption. Now, of course, it didn't actually have to end that way, because for all the pastoral images of the Judean hills at harvest time, if it weren't for a few good choices by a couple of really good people, the story of Ruth could have ended as did the book of Shoftim. It could have ended with disaster. Remember when the whole city came out in chapter 1 and wondered, is this Naomi? Now, they didn't take her in. They didn't care for her needs. And it makes me read their, you know, their wonder, is this Naomi, as a bit of schadenfreude, like, is this Naomi who left us back in the time of the famine? They're a little alienated and a little bit cruel. And remember Boaz's comment in chapter 2 that the workers shouldn't touch Ruth as she gathered grain in the field? Well, you know, that noble gesture implied, you know, just under the surface, that the potential for sexual harassment of a foreign woman was a very real concern in the days of the judges. You know, but for the grace of Boaz, this easily could have ended as another Pilegish Begivah. And in our chapter 4, the anonymous Ploni Almoni is perfectly willing to redeem Elimelech's land, but a flesh and blood person with real needs and real emotions? Oh no, I can't do that. That's not really done in my family. What will people say? Now, I don't want to be too hard on poor Ploni Almoni. He's anonymous, without a name, and perhaps that's because he refused to continue the name of Mahlon by marrying Ruth. But perhaps he's anonymous because he represents the all-too-normal everyman. He's nice. He's polite. He'll give you a smile when you come into his store. He'll politely ask you, do you prefer paper bags or plastic? The rabbis, based on a verse in chapter 3, say his real name was Tov. He's a good guy, but he's a good fences make good neighbors kind of guy. He does what's proper, what's customary, but he isn't truly motivated by another's pain to do what might be a bit uncomfortable for himself. He isn't motivated to do the unusual, not even the little 5 minutes of fame kind of unusual. You know, maybe he'll call 911 for a stranger, but he won't perform CPR. Maybe he'll give the guy on the road a bottle of water, but he won't get his hands dirty and help him change his tire. The book of Shoftim ended by showing how a local crime by anonymous individuals can become amplified into a huge national scandal, a national war, ultimately threatening to wipe out a tribe of Israel. Like the butterfly effect, local crime can lead to national catastrophe. The Book of Ruth ends with the corollary that small local acts of kindness can become big things, can become national things. They can produce a united society under a king of Israel. Now, we have no indication that Boaz realized that what he was attempting was something heroic, something historical. When he first met Ruth, he was, true, he was unusually gracious, but even his kindness was limited. Ruth, however, captured his attention and captured his heart. Like Ruth, because of Ruth, he was motivated, he was moved to do the unusual, the uncomfortable, the non-conventional. But it's not like something that you and I would call heroic. But that's kind of the charm of this book. It shows the eye-level heroism of everyday kindness, and that without our being aware of it, those choices can shape history. This book, the Book of Ruth, teaches us to change our perspective on heroism. It teaches us that the heroic is what's perceived on the outside, and sometimes only after several generations. So it teaches us that rather than striving for heroism, rather than teaching ourselves or our children to be heroic, we should instead strive to be comfortable with discomfort, to not to be scared of the unusual, the non-conventional, at least when confronted by the needs of others. We can transcend small personal limits and recognize that transcending small personal limits is itself a form of transcendence, and that's worthy of Ruth and Boaz. It's a form of personal redemption. And that can be a chapter in the story of national redemption and a page in the drama of the repair of the world.